Eckler now in for Gordon. Out wide of the numbers right, and the slot is Henry left.
We've got a linebacker on Eckler.
And here comes the quick blitz. There's Eckler. Gets a block. 20, 25, 30. It's a foot race. 40, 50. Into Jags territory. 30, 20. Austin Eckler to the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Austin Eckler is having himself a day.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Austin Eckler, not Eckler, not Eckler, Eckler, will be joining us here in Studio 66 in a matter of moments. Looking ahead, do not notify your local authorities or otherwise if you hear any tales of tampering, because it's legal. It's fully legal right in pro football come this weekend. No matter, I know we want to be vigilant in our society right now about a number of issues, but tampering with pro football players, completely above
board. Dave,
not yet.
As we speak today, it's not legal.
So if you tamper,
see someone tampering with a football player between now and the weekend, you should... You know, if you see something, say something.
That's good policy.
Yeah.
That's right. But otherwise, just settle into your couch this weekend and enjoy the
tamper away.
Right. It's going to be a lot of tampering with names you know. Some of them handsome fellas. Tom Brady being one of them.
I bet there are plenty of people who'd like to tamper with him, Dave.
Oh, you could say that again.
Even
friend.
In Tampa Bay.
Oh, look who came in ready to kibitz today. Hey. Brought his A game today, huh?
I don't know. If that's my A game, Yeah.
Aqib Talib brought his A game, and he joined us in Studio 66 just 48 hours ago. He
the
had
greatest
a lot of,
Aqib out there.
I would say he's my number one Aqib.
No doubt.
I don't even have to think about it. I don't have to take some time away and make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. He is my favorite Aqib that I've ever come across. He had some great insights about his personal experience, retroactively, of course, but then also projecting ahead into free agency. Good news for cornerbacks in the NFL, because Josh Norman is now worth $6 million annually, according to the Buffalo Bills. And this sets the market, as they say. Austin Eckler, the first in among running backs. And I wonder, Handsome, I know we've had this conversation, but it's as we move into free agency, let's quickly revisit that. Where do you come down now on paying running backs long-term, like Austin Eckler, or beyond, or the big name, the name brand guys?
Well, it's a good question. I think Eckler didn't get paid like the name
he didn't get,
brand
right.
running back amount of money.
Le'Veon Bell, 2 years ago, wanted $18 million. He wound up getting, I think, 14-ish million.
I would pay my own, because I would know everything about them, right? The next one of those guys is probably Christian McCaffrey, would probably be a year.
And Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara. So you know enough about those guys to know this is the tread on their tires. These are the little injuries that never get reported that they've suffered, et cetera, to be able to make a decision on that. I would not pay top whack for Le'Veon Bell, for example.
Top whack?
Top dollar.
Top whack?
Top whack.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing. I would not pay top
whack.
That's
a UK thing? Is top whack? Why is that not? Why are we not using that here?
I don't know.
I'm going to start using it.
You have my permission.
I wouldn't
pay that much for a guy that I don't know everything about. And clearly, in those situations, when you're negotiating with those players or their agents, they're not going to be like, oh, by the way, turns out Lev's a tiny bit overweight and his right knee hurts a lot.
I know,
especially
but you know what?
Games.
I know I've said this before and I'll say it again now. And it's one thing to say, once you have the information, to your point, that David Johnson has not worked out and Todd Gurley has kind of come apart, and Aqib Talib sat here and did his best once again to say, oh, no, Todd Gurley's still great and everything else. It's really weird, though, by the way, with the Rams as an organization, that you can't pry anybody to acknowledge, like, yeah, it's a little, yeah, the knee.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you watch him with your own eyes, you think, like, he does look explosive. He doesn't look like, it's not like, oh, I mean, David Johnson, there were some runs in 2019 where you thought, ooh, that doesn't look
good.
Right. Le'Veon Bell looks like he was a little more sluggish than when we had seen him last in 2018.
Le'Veon Bell went into last year saying he wants to to change the market for running backs, and he did.
I know. Not that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Is Lev Bell right? He was going to
this year, all of those guys are going to suffer from that.
He was going to be, he was willing, Lev Bell, the way he kind of put it, it made it sound like he was
sacrificing himself for the better,
he was
for the betterment of his future. And in fact, what he did is set them back.
He did reset the market. Right. David Johnson plus Todd Gurley plus Lev Bell equals you should not pay a running back a second deal on the level of what Lev Bell and what Zeke Elliott actually got and what Todd Gurley got and what David Johnson got, which then leads me to, I know we're not talking about the here and now, we're projecting ahead into the future, but as much as it may vex Saints and Panthers fans to hear this, it is not good business to sign either one of those guys. Well, tag them, franchise tag them, keep them one more year, but after that, you got to let them go.
Or unless you know that, like, Christian McCaffrey, we've run him this much. You know, no one's going to know more about him than you, your doctors, your trainers, whatever. So if you're with a clear conscience, if you were evaluating him as if he's not our player and I want to know everything I can about this player, and it comes up like, okay, this is a good investment, then you should do. But what you shouldn't do, I think, and this is probably closer to the Todd Gurley one, is be like, he's done so much great work for us. He's helped us reach a Super Bowl, et cetera, or get us, you know, he's our guy. We owe him this. You don't owe him this.
Those loyalty, like, kind
loyalty
of deals are no.
Like, the loyalty things, that's not going to go well with a running back, especially.
Right. I think if you tried to, if you went up to the podium.
Glad MJD can't hit me, because I think he'd be angry with us.
Remember, he was pretty lucid about the whole Lev Bell thing. We had some contentious powwows about it because he wanted to whack out. What is it called?
Top whack.
Yeah. He wanted to see Lev Bell get top whack.
Whacking out is different. We should.
That's not a thing.
That's, well, it might be, but
it is, but it's not germane to our conversation.
It's not legal or tampering.
Well, I mean, it sounds maybe like it could be tampering. But anyway, I think that, those fans will not like me saying that now. But listen, do you want to be in the same situation that Rams fans are now in with Todd Gurley?
No.
Do you want to be?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
By the way, a quick note. I have no specific intel on this, but I can tell you that I find reports that Lev Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to reunite to be specious.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
I don't buy that. Yeah.
Can I also add a quick note?
You may.
So I listened to your podcast with Aqib Talib.
Did you?
And it was great. I really enjoyed, and I think he's a good character, and I like your
conversation. He's one of the great, because isn't it, by the way, interesting, all the spots he's been into that he can report firsthand experience with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's Patriots, with Peyton Manning coming into the Broncos and then winning that Super Bowl.
He walked into the locker room and it inspired their defense.
And
all of that was great.
Neat.
But I think you put him on. So my understanding of his relationship with the Dolphins, he was traded there so they could get his contract off the books. And in fact, the Rams end up giving them a pick to take Aqib Talib's contract. I don't believe he spent any time in the Dolphins facility whatsoever last season.
Oh, you don't think he ever even showed up?
I don't think he was asked to show up. I think they were just like, okay, this is a good deal for us. You take his contract, you pay his bills, and we'll give you a draft pick. So you put him on the spot a little bit, I felt like, and that's why he was not very specific with his answers on Josh Rosen. You're like, what about Josh Rosen? You saw a lot of him, and he was a bit like,
no, you'll notice I kept that vague. I did not say you saw him in practice.
Not as vague as he kept it. I felt like his answers were the same as like anyone else that saw Josh Rosen for three series last season and in the brief couple of starts he made. It felt like he wasn't willing to say, yeah, look, I know that it says on my Wikipedia page that I'm a Miami Dolphins player, but I have spent zero time in that facility.
I should have asked him, right? I wonder if he got at least any swag out of the deal. Like, did he get any Dolphins gear? Because I could ask.
I don't even think he has a hat.
You know what? I got to get in touch with him, because I feel that he's benefiting. He embraced fully. He really liked your idea.
I know he did.
Of the Handsome Hank Surf and Turf Tour across Football America. it really is what ignited that idea. Really started you and me being on the road together, our right. dinner club, our yeah. tour of football.
No one
America.
Was paying for it though for us. That was the difference.
Right. But nevertheless, that then when you came up with the idea that all free agents who are going to have multiple meetings, that they get in their own way. Yeah, if they want to tamper with you, let them tamper away, but don't you tamper. The only tampering you should do as a player is saying, first, I need a delicious meal at right. one of the finest restaurants yeah. in your city. Like,
as Akeem said, I don't work well on an empty stomach. Let's figure this mm-hmm. deal out mm-hmm. while you feed me steak.
Right, exactly.
And I'll tell you the updated version of this. Sorry to interrupt you, but a good friend of mine who I was on the phone with just this morning, a gentleman named Lewis Wiltshire, who's based in the UK, huge 49ers fan. His belief is that the way that Bill Belichick has subverted this, my notion of get all the steak you can, is he and Brady have a deal in place. Mm-hmm. But he said to Tom Brady, go to these teams, go and find out what their plans are for 2020 and how you could be involved in it. Come back and report to me. And then I'll know everything we need to know, and then we'll go out and trounce everyone and
this
win
is,
another Super Bowl.
And that's
his Machiavellian scheme.
Right. Is this it? But is this an informed hypothesis?
No, it's definitely not informed.
Well, the sports guy has his own little theory, really? Too. Yeah. He's like, it's the
same basic
thing.
Principle.
It's like, this is for his new production company. It's all a big scheme. He said, they've laid this out on the Simmons podcast recently.
Right.
That they suspect, I think perhaps tongue in cheek, but I mean, of course, it's like they say, like, if somebody wrote a script about this, no one would believe it. I mean, like Tom Brady getting a professional advantage via surreptitious video. I mean, who would believe something like that?
That's not a thing.
That would never happen.
Right.
Yeah, so there's Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass chuckling.
Eddie.
Look, there he is. Yeah, Eli didn't need nothing to help him vanquish Tom Brady, right?
That's right, but people online will say it was only the defense, not Eli, despite those incredible throws he's made in both Super Bowls. Well, more so a catch in the first one, but...
The big news, the big pro football news, two tidbits over the last 24 hours. Marshall Yanda retires after 13 years, and Daniel Jeremiah, and by the way, one half of the radio team that calls Chargers Action, so we'll get Austin Eckler's opinion of the work that Matt Money.
Oh, I wonder who his favorite.
Oh, well, I'll be sure to ask him about that. But Jeremiah says that Eckler could be a slot receiver if he wanted to be
in the NFL.
Yeah, so we'll ask him about that. But what was I going to say about?
Before? I don't know. We were talking about news, and you said Marshall.
Oh yes,
Yanda.
Marshall Yanda. That was one of his scouted. That was one of the guys that DJ scouted. Oh, yeah. And he loved Yanda, and I can't remember what he calls it, but in some scouting rooms, or at least with the Ravens, you get a gold star. You get to star a guy or something that you're like, this is my guy. This is the guy who I think, like, if he's available,
they always
must
have the
jump
thing
on
where
this
you
guy.
That you stand on the table, isn't
whatever
it,
that's thing? Yeah, that version of that. DJ tells the tale that Yanda was his guy.
DJ would
13 years ago, and Yanda now would appear to. Probably as much as guards track to the Hall of Fame, probably does
might be on that.
Have the resume. Yeah. Of course, I can't indulge a deeper conversation about how great Yanda was because you know the no jive policy applies here. What do I know about how good he does,
you
on
know what?
The interior?
It's just occurred
of the
to me as well is what? That he's had this 13-year career and no one thought to give him the nickname Over, so he could be Over Yanda.
Over.
Wait, the way you said,
but isn't
Yanda,
that like? Right, no, I get it.
Sound, right.
Oh,
what?
All right, well, Spaghetti says
Eddie,
no. Yeah,
rejected.
I'm glad you stepped in there to stop that. Because it's, yeah, he would want to be over his foe, right? You don't want to be
where's
like,
Marshall? Oh, he's over yonder.
Yeah.
Fine, Eddie.
Well, I'm going to try to salvage
get
it.
Get back to
I'm
eating trying crap to, donuts.
I'm trying to salvage it, yeah. Spaghetti's getting to be built like an offensive lineman. Maybe that's his homage to O-lineman.
Right.
I'm such an O-line guy, I'm going to make myself built like one.
And right? He played offensive line in high school.
Right? I did not, no.
No?
No, I played, my brother did, but I played like linebacker. My brother played O-line in college, actually.
Sort of
really?
A Levon Kirkland-style yeah. linebacker.
That means that you're, forgive me, but that makes you an underwhelming football player, right?
Why? How does that make sense?
I mean, because I wasn't allowed to play football. Mo Damashek, the nurse, said, like, no, I don't want any, you know, she have any broken bones. So I'm not going to have it. Had I played, I suspect I would have been the quarterback and probably a safety, something like that, I think. Right. But, like, the good guys play both sides in high school.
Yeah.
You weren't a skill guy. You couldn't catch, for instance.
Well, but
or throw.
What happens if you have enough guys on both sides of the ball and you just play? Well, I started in defense, which yeah. I'd rather play linebacker.
All right, but O-line. I'm saying, but the good guys play both sides.
Linebacker's cool. O-line's like
they're like, hey, okay, good job on defense, Eddie. Come on off the field.
Off the field now, the skillful guys are going out there.
I disagree completely. I think the top high schools in America, unless you're like going to the NFL, like if you have enough bodies to fill a roster, you don't really
Was yours one of the top high schools in America?
No, miserable. It was a nerd school.
but you did invoke it as an
total nerd
school.
You could imagine if, but no, we were terrible.
You could imagine if.
We were really bad. Miserable.
Okay.
All right.
Enough on Eddie's career.
So that's that. And Marshall Yanda moves on. And then
what's the other news you
Their have? Division foe, the Pittsburgh Steelers, have just been announced as one half of this year's upcoming Hall of Fame game against the Dallas Cowboys.
The very next football game that'll be played in America.
Is that the best rivalry?
Oh, yeah, that league.
Is that the best rivalry in let's revisit that right now here, now that we're into March. Is that the best non-division rivalry in NFL history?
Not even non-division, interconference.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the NBA has Lakers-Celtics. That reigns as the all-time in pro basketball. Although, you know, I guess the Jazz and... Nah, that doesn't really count. Jazz and Bulls. But I think your Dolphins and the Oakland Raiders at one point would have something that you would point to. I guess Steelers Raiders. Forgive me. I know people are going to say, "Oh, you better bring up the Steelers." They happen to be relevant for Steelers, long stretches, so of course they've got
Steelers Cowboys is a big game, even though it only happens once every 4 years. Sorry about the preseason, but I don't necessarily count the preseason as being one of.
Nor
those
do
big
I.
Moments.
Nor do I. This will be Duck Hodges versus whoever the third string QB of the Dallas Cowboys is by that point.
Yeah.
We suspect that it will be Dak Prescott getting his loot and taking that position back in time for training camp. But I don't think we'll see him or Roethlisberger. I think we know Roethlisberger won't be there. That's an ongoing series too. You know, I like the what if stuff, Handsome. Is there, what is to you, I think I have the answer to it before I even ask it, but Spaghetti, I want you to come up with your answer to this too. What is the Super Bowl that the sports gods saw fit to deprive us of that you
all
wish
time.
You would have seen? Yeah, like the one that it was a game away, and if that play or whatever hadn't happened, we would have gotten that, and instead we didn't get it, and we got that crummy Super Bowl. Or it could even have been a great Super Bowl. To me, the answer is, as you ruminate on your answer, is the Steelers and Cowboys play in Super Bowl 13, the year after the Cowboys get their second title against the Broncos in Super Bowl 12 in the Superdome. In Super Bowl 13 in Miami, the Steelers vanquish the Cowboys, and they get the third. And at the time, I remember as a wee lad that the big thing was, who's going to be the first one to three? Because this will assert you are the dominant force in pro football history. And the Steelers got that one, and so they took that mantle. And then the Cowboys were the best team at minimum in the NFC the following season, and they were tracking to the Super Bowl until Vince Ferragamo, the backup, takes over for Pat Hayden and throws an improbable deflected pass in Texas Stadium. It gets deflected by one of the Cowboys, and Billy Waddy catches it and runs it into the end zone with less than 2 minutes left, sending the Rams to the NFC title game. It would have been the Cowboys. It would have been the Bucks at the Cowboys. The Cowboys would have whipped them, and you would have gotten so Super Bowl 10, Steelers, Cowboys, Super Bowl 13, and you would have had Super Bowl 14. That would have solidified that before
then
Bird
then
Magic.
The conversation wouldn't.
It would have been the biggest thing. Yeah. It would have been that would have been the biggest thing in sports history at that time, I think.
Yep.
Now, I've bought you some time.
No,
What's
you haven't.
Answer?
I still haven't got a good answer. There are a couple that personally I would have loved. I'd love to see a home team play in the Super Bowl. And so the Vikings,
that would have been
Vikings
great.
Making the Super Bowl in Minneapolis would have been really cool.
Mm-hmm. That would have been
I'm not sure it would have necessarily been a better game for it, but you know, cause that game was thoroughly enjoyable.
Well, that's what's fun about What If is as Schwarzenegger tells us, as the T-800 tells us, once you start messing with things that have already happened, now you alter the history of mankind. Right, precisely. Right. But yeah, would the Vikings have won that game?
Not in the same thrilling way as the Eagles did.
I don't think they would have won the game, period.
Probably not.
I guess it's easy to announce that. But if that is in fact right, Tom Brady would have an extra chip. And here, you know what? Now you've just opened it up. Willie McGinnis and other people who would know have said that if the Patriots win that Super Bowl, he would have retired
in that moment.
But losing lit a fire under him and made him come back. But if he would have retired, who knows how?
Who knows where we? What will we be talking about this week?
Who
would be tampered with this weekend?
I'll throw another one out to you. I mean, you could go through every season and find fascinating outcomes. Another one, I think the most obvious one is the 15-1 Vikings in '98.
Yep.
The juggernaut team.
I mean, that's a great one.
Going up against John Elway, trying to repeat with TD and that very good Broncos team, mm-hmm. trying to repeat. And by the way, the thing that the little footnote in that from that season, Gary Anderson misses that field goal. People forget that Falcons team was 13-3. It was no jive. Chris Chandler was their quarterback, is the reason that people make fun of it. But that was not a bogus team that went to the Super Bowl. However, they did get trounced by Elway and company. Spaghetti, yours.
I would definitely I wish that the Patriots were not in the recent Pats Rams Super Bowl, or that when you're just talking about the Pats Eagles, the rest they could stay in. I think that's boring. Another one would be, I wish just that one of these more recent Saints teams made one, just to alleviate all the crying about them. And a team that I weirdly like that wish that I made the Super Bowl, was it the 09 Jets that lost the Steelers in the AFC title game?
With Sanchez?
One of those Rex Ryan Jets teams. They're just, to me, I guess just back when I was home in New York, and I have a lot of Jets fans, and I have no problem rooting for the Jets. I wish that they made a Super Bowl because I like that.
No.
Oh, yeah. I wish Rex Ryan won one. No. I wish Sanchez got to a Super Bowl. I love that team. Like, DeBart Scott, can't wait. Tomlinson was there.
DeBart Scott can't wait was not...
Was it 09?
No, that wasn't with... He wasn't with the Jets then, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I think that was... That's that season.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, then they go, because it was assumed that Pittsburgh was going to go to Foxborough, and that would be the end of... Because that was not a great Steelers team, but things broke right for them in that postseason to get them the Jets. They almost blew that game to the Jets, too, in the second half.
Right, exactly.
The other one, I mean, A.J. Dewey, the Jets that were good were in the 80s. I mean, there were some good Jets team. They had Richard Todd, who was a pick machine out of Alabama, but they were legitimately very good. You know, the defensive players that they had, the sack exchange, and they had Freeman McNeil and so on. And they played down in a rainstorm in Miami against David Woodley and Don Strock and Don Shula and that gang just before they, which is a weird turn in history as well, that Dolphins team goes to the Super Bowl.
And
they really had a shot in the game. Right. They were in that game. Yep. Until Riggins breaks that run off, and then Theismann throws one to Charlie Brown to put it away and makes the game look like
it's more one-sided,
more decisive victory.
Exactly. 2 years later, they changed everything around. The other one...
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. What's fascinating is they play in the Super Bowl, and then they draft Dan Marino, not 6 months later, but 18 months later. So a pretty interesting turn that they can acknowledge. All right, David Woodley is it's fine. We got to move on from the late David Woodley.
The other one I would have loved, because although I'm a Dolphins fan, the team that I've supported probably more over the last decade is the then San Diego Chargers. That team that had LT got injured in the championship game against the Patriots and played but didn't play well. I would have loved that 14-2 Chargers team.
That's a great one.
Have made a Super Bowl with LT, with Phil Rivers.
Right.
With Antonio Gates, with Sean Merriman, I think, was still on the team. I loved Sean Merriman at the time. Like, that was a fun team that I'd like to have seen. And obviously with, I think, Marty as the head coach as well.
That's an excellent one.
Was that North? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Somewhere in that.
I think that's Marty.
Somewhere in that region where it was like the Marty to Norv crossover, and they were like, okay, maybe.
But then
Marty.
There was the 10-7 game where Antonio Cromartie refused to tackle.
Yep.
I think that was Norv. I can't remember how that one went.
But one of those teams that was consistently either in the championship game or in the divisional round and got knocked out, they needed to make it to a Super Bowl.
Well, the one that would have been grand, that really would have been disruptive to NFL history positively and negatively, is in 1980, Super or 81, I should say, the Niners, like, and they announced the dawn of the 49ers dominance, and at the same time knocked down the Cowboys once and for all, Danny White's Cowboys, in front of Super Bowl 16. And on the other side, you have the game that you and I have talked about a fair amount. I don't know if this is pre-Dan Marino, so I don't know how well you remember that game, Handsome, but the great divisional round game, perhaps the greatest football game of all time, 41-38.
I know I've watched NFL Films video of that many, many times.
The best. It's just the best game. Then that team, that Chargers team worn out by the heat, then goes to frigid Cincinnati. If you play that under different circumstances, Dan Fouts and that Chargers team go into a Super Bowl to play against Joe Montana and the 49ers. That becomes an all-time different thing. And what if the Chargers win that game? And then what does that do to Joe Montana? Because Bill Walsh was not thrilled with Joe Montana. It's not like Joe Montana. History now has rewritten it that's the ultimate partnership until Belichick and Brady make the scene. But Bill Walsh, if you take that Lombardi away, I think that you can make a pretty decent case that in the 83 draft that Bill Walsh goes for one of those big arm QBs. He might have tried to move up to even get John Elway with the first overall out of Stanford from his backyard. Dan Marino would have been something.
Tony Eason.
Okay, different.
Ken O'Brien.
Okay,
Ken O'Brien played in California. I mean, what would have been a better match than Ken O'Brien on the 49ers?
Perhaps, yeah. That's right. I could go on and on playing this game. All right, but instead, let's go on to one Austin Eckler here.
Cool, he's coming in here.
Yeah, but you got to go.
What?
I'll ask him the questions you want.
Why every time?
That's it. Goodbye.
You worried I'm going to embarrass you, Dave?
Thank you. No, listen, go eat a steak and some lobster.
I might go see if I can get a crap donut with Eddie.
Oh, that's a nice thing for Akib to ask. Go meet up with your favorite Akib. I hope he gets, by the way, I just want to say, I hope he gets wacky top. Top whack?
Top whack.
Top whack. I don't remember that. Top whack. All right, thanks for coming by, Handsome. But here comes number 30 from your Los Angeles Chargers, Austin Eckler. All right, number 30. He's very highly paid by the Los Angeles Chargers to run the ball and catch it for them. It's Austin Eckler. What's happening, man?
Oh, not much. Thanks for having me, man.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, Eckler.
Eckler. It seems like a couple years ago. Remember, everybody was kind of, were you noticing that as your name started to emerge in pro football circles, that there were a lot of pronunciations out there?
I've heard it all my life, you know. I played a lot of sports, so a lot of announcers and people talking to me, you know, I've heard, you know, Eckler, like people.
Eckler. I think I went with an Eckler.
Yeah, Eckler.
Somewhere
kinda,
along
like,
the way.
Pronunciate it and just like Eckler. Yeah. It was Eckler. Bam. Sit out there.
First thing, let's start with Melvin Gordon. Have you heard from Melvin Gordon since the big D? I saw him tweet at you. He's a delightful fella.
Right. You know, we developed a business relationship over the years. But as far as, you know, contact with him, I haven't had much contact with him as far as like what's going on with, you know, his, you know, search for a place, if he's coming back, if not, my understanding just with the holdout is they're probably not on the same page as far as it comes to like contract stuff.
I think from a distance, that would be the read. Yeah.
So if he doesn't come back, that would be my assumption. I know that he would like to be, you know, back in the room with all of us just because we have, you know, the relationships over the years with coaches, but it comes down to, you know, what you're worth and how you know, how much you're willing to fight for that.
But you're not going to make, like, for instance, if Melvin doesn't come back, you're not going to be like, hey, Justin Jackson, you carry my helmet to and from practice.
See, we've never been like that. No, we've been a pretty tight room.
Not going to do that.
No, not going to do that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to watch. I might show up around August.
The rookie that comes in, he'd get the helmets for sure.
All right. Now, you're aware that the rumors are out there. It seems all but done that Phil is moving on to wherever he's going to move on to. Mm-hmm. You've heard about Tom Brady coming there. First question about that. Tom Brady versus Phil Rivers, who would win a 50-yard dash?
Hey, I've seen Philip run. He's actually pretty fast.
Oh, I've seen him run too.
Everyone has seen him run on the game field. When you see him actually run and like sprints and things like that, he can move. He can actually get it going pretty good. As long as it's a straight line, he's good to go. I would take Philip for sure.
The first time you saw it on TV for a number of years before you got there, but the first time you were in person and you saw Phil throw the ball the way he throws it, did you laugh?
I actually asked someone if that was the real way he threw, if he was just like messing around. I was like, wow, he really throws sidearm. You know,
he's playing a prank on you, right, on the new guys for the first day.
Throw it around a D lineman or something. No, that's just how he throws it.
It's bizarre.
It really is.
Did it take legitimately a couple of passes before you're like, okay, now I can get it coming out of his hand? But it is weird to look at.
It's still really weird, especially like the checkdowns, because you always have to be ready, because he'll be looking downfield and all of a sudden just like dump it down to you, and you'll be like, oh shoot, I wasn't ready, because he wasn't looking or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, it definitely took some. Still, I'm still not used to it. It's still surprised. Yeah.
What do you think about the Tom Brady stuff? I mean, I guess unfair to put you on the spot, Tom Brady or Tyrod Taylor or someone in the draft. I mean, but how's it hit your ear to hear Tom Brady may show up with the Chargers?
You know, it would, if we got Tom Brady, you know, I feel like it'd be a similar situation to having Philip in the room, just as far as the years of experience and just the leadership. You know, if we have a younger guy or Tyrod, I feel like the leadership's, it'll have to come up a little bit, you know, just because Tyrod's, you know, he was a backup last year and kind of took a backseat to Philip. So it'll be more development through that aspect, and maybe even take some more leadership from the rest of the locker room to, you know, lead. Because, I mean, ultimately, Philip was, he was the guy. He's been there longer than the coaches, you know. That's kind of his team, you know, and everything's built around him. What's up, Philip? You know the offense. He's coaching everyone on the field. That's what made it great and easy for the players, because we just go through him. And we're on the field during the games and everything. He'd be like, hey, you got these guys, you got this route, you know, telling everybody, just the chief. But so whoever comes in has got some big shoes to fill, you know, either way.
Now tell me where you went to college again. Go ahead. And I want you to say it out. I could tell you what I have written on this piece of paper, right, but I want you to tell it to me.
I went to Western State, Colorado University.
That's a made up thing. Let's be honest now, cause you're done now. I contend that one of the great tricks that the man plays on us is that you need a college degree. Mm-hmm. I contend now, out on the other side, unless you want to be a doctor, right, or like an astronaut or a couple of things, no one ever asks you what your GPA was. They don't check into anything. You can be honest with me here now. Yeah, that's not a real place. You just made
that
up.
It's a real
place. Right?
It's funny you say that, because my head coach, Anthony Lynn, he says, no, you just went to college. You just call it college.
All right. Quick test for you. Whatever this was, Western State College?
Western. Just call it Western for short.
I mean, see, that keeps it easy.
Right. Exactly. Western State
College. Helps you keep your lies nice and straight, right?
Right.
What's the mascot of this alleged football team you play on?
The Mountaineers.
Yeah?
It was in a mountain town, so it was fitting.
All right. Well, now you're an NFL star. I think we can say legitimately after 2019 that you're a star running back in pro football. So did you ever get tackled in Division II? Because if you did, even once, I've said this to Derrick Henry about playing in high school. If you got tackled by someone in Division II, then you underachieved.
Right. You know, they didn't manage to bring me down a few times, for sure. But, you know, managed to, you know, still put up some good numbers on them and get some notice.
How big a trip was it for you? Because you're from Nebraska. Did you grow up a Huskers fan, I'm assuming?
I did. I had a cousin that was a linebacker coach there, so it kind of just drew us, you know, to the Cornhuskers.
To gauge your age, then, do you even recall him ever being good? It's weird. Nebraska fans don't realize that they're not relevant anymore. Right, there's been a long time.
They're almost getting more excited about just, like, the culture around the team.
Yeah, and, right.
Like, oh, we have, like, 200.
Did you ever see them good?
I didn't see them.
You don't remember Tommy Frazier, any of that stuff?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. When I was watching them, they were going through a bunch of head coach changes, you know, director changes, things like that. Yeah.
And then, so you're from Nebraska. You allegedly go to college in Colorado. So at what point does Austin Ekeler for the first time lay his eyes on the Pacific Ocean or any ocean?
I made a trip out my sophomore year out here. Up in college, that's the first time I actually saw the ocean. And then the next time was when I was, you know, signed with the Chargers.
Is it a trip? I mean, is it, I mean, do you feel like, I mean, obviously getting paid to play football must be, must make you feel like you're cheating life, but then you get to do it in Los Angeles?
Exactly. You know, I always thought that I would be somewhere around Colorado. Even in the NFL, I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to stay out here. I don't know if California is a place for me. It's just too busy, too much traffic. Hmm. But then I signed a 4-year deal, so it looks like I'm locked in, you know.
Have you been renting then?
I have been renting.
Oh, but yeah. now you're going to roots.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to buy. I don't know.
You know what I've talked with a couple of guys on your team about doing? The two Melvins, in fact. And you know, if Melvin Gordon does happen to move on one way or the other, I think it's noteworthy that this era of Chargers football, how are you guys expected to succeed with not one but two guys named Melvin on a pro football team? It wasn't chess. You weren't
M&M.
Playing football. Melvins. I know that we put our heads together. We tried to develop. We tried to set up a partnership with M&M's and have
really?
Them. Yeah, to see if we could have them do ads. It didn't play out. But
they weren't buying it.
Melvin, by the way, that's a weird name for a baby, don't you think?
Melvin, what's wrong with Melvin?
For a baby?
For a baby.
For a grown-up, it's cool.
Well, I mean, all grown-ups are babies, so you can say
well, like
anything.
We talk about Justin Jackson, like Justin's a good name for a baby, but for a grown-up, I don't know.
So you're suggesting a baby name and then an adult name.
Some names.
Ah, there you go. Hey.
Some names are good for a baby, but not for a grown-up. For a grown-up, but not for a baby. Like the classic is Carl. You know, like Carl the baby, Wayne the baby.
Right.
You know?
So maybe it's like
Gary the baby. Those are weird.
Yeah,
that
is a little strange. Oh, this is Gary.
Can I tell you another one?
What you got?
Austin.
Austin the
Austin the baby? A little weird.
Like little Austin. Like.
Like Cody is a good baby name, but you don't want that as a grown up.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Who do you and your professional, when you go into the building and you probably kibitz with them a couple of times every week, the radio partners up there who call the action, Matt Money Smith, Daniel Jeremiah, you ever interact with those fellas?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They're the voices of the Chargers. Yeah. And they happen to work here. And Daniel Jeremiah recently said that he feels like if you decided to be a slot receiver, you would immediately be top five. How's that hit you?
Shoot, I feel like at this point, like I've had, you know, some success doing it all outside in the slot, in the backfield. And that's kind of, you know, the persona I want around me is that, hey, I can do it from any spot in the field.
Is it as simple as, I mean, how aware are you guys of that outside noise? And it's, you know, it's real life stuff. It's, you know, I think people are a little glib about like, man, the Chargers with the injury bug year after year and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I've talked with Derwin James. I've talked with a few guys about that. I mean, how much do you guys buzz about that? Like, man, oh, man, what is the story already here? Why do we not get a break with that?
The thing is, I feel like 2 years ago when we were 12-4, I feel like we didn't really have any major injuries. I feel like Hunter Henry, you know, he ended up tearing his ACL. That was a major injury, but it was just like one guy, like one or two guys. And so last year, I feel like we got hit pretty hard and early on too. So it had been people that were, you know, used to the offense, in the offense, and now all of a sudden they're not there anymore. Now we have backups coming in. So I think that just really hurt our dynamic of our team. And, you know, we're trying to make it as simple as possible for everyone, and then other people would get hurt. And then you got to just redo it. And we just really couldn't get a foothold in, I felt like. And we were just too inconsistent with just our play level, and it really, you know, ended up hurting us in the end. Because, shoot, it seemed like every week we were just barely losing games. You're just like, oh, come on. You know, we lost so many games by seven or less. I think there was only like two that we didn't. But it was the same thing week in, week out. It was like one or two more plays would have just turned the game around. It just came back to our consistency. You know, 2 years ago when we were 12-4, we were making those plays and we were finishing games and we were scoring points. And then the thing come back next year, I think the injuries definitely helped it, or definitely helped the, what our record was. Like Durham, you know, he was, that was a big.
I think, I mean,
he bent a screw in his foot. Like, what? Like, who does that? Like, that's a thing? I didn't even know it was a thing.
That's when the football gods are right. For whatever reason, they got some axe to grind with you guys. But, I mean, I really do feel like, and obviously it's not a small matter who's going to be under center for you guys, but you continue to have, you know, arguably the most talented roster top to bottom in the AFC, I would say, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if everyone's healthy, though, it doesn't matter if not everyone's
right.
There,
and you know? if you can resolve the QB issue, I really think that the Chargers have a real shot in 2020. The only issue there is you're shaping up to be in a really rugged division. I know that the West has its rivalries and so on, but here come the Raiders. You're looking forward to going to Vegas on the road? Is that
the stadium's pretty sweet. I've been there a couple of times.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you doing out there in Vegas?
My agent lives out there.
Oh, I see. Yeah. All right. So you'll have the Raiders, and then you have the world champs. Is that gonna do anything for you as a competitor to go out to Arrowhead or when the Chiefs come to town in the new joint?
No, I think it just creates an atmosphere around just our division. Even with the new stadium with the Raiders and they're moving, and then you know how they had a little hype over the last couple of years with Gruden, and you know obviously the Chiefs coming in and winning the Super Bowl, it just makes it more exciting to be in this division, because you know when we go to their stadiums, it's just
sure.
You know, and they're the Broncos stadium, you know, they do a great job.
Is that the best smelling stadium to go to? Arrowhead.
Arrowhead. Actually, it wasn't too bad when I was there.
No, I mean smell good. All like, the barbecue float. Like,
I don't even know. I don't know. It smells normal to me, I guess.
Really?
But I just love the atmosphere, you know, around teams like that.
Oh man, you could be in a division with you know, if things break in a certain way, you could have Tom Brady on your side. You could have Superman, Cam Newton for the Raiders, and then you have the reigning Super Bowl champion, Patrick Mahomes and company.
It'd be a fun division to watch for sure.
It would be very fun. And among all that, you have a guy from Western toting the rock there, being a big star here, doing it the unorthodox route. And congratulations to you. If you need any help, I'd be more than happy to try and get you in the right home here in Southern California. Are you a beach guy? You want to be, you know, near the hills?
Yeah, I'm trying to find my own little corner to be tucked away in, just so I can keep it low on the radar.
I floated the idea, and the idea of doing a show called The Home Team, and I just take people around. You watch those shows on HGTV?
No, I haven't.
You don't like those shows where they overhaul the house and get people in? All right, well, you and
we're
I...
like, move that bus, that show?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I see that.
All right.
I've seen it a couple times. Yeah.
Austin Eckler, look, move that bus, and then moves out of the way, and then you go crazy for the house that I put in, right?
Sure. I would go crazy, absolutely.
All right, good. I'll look forward to that. In the meantime, continued success and good health to you as you get ready for 2020. Can't wait to see who your QB is going to be here in Los Angeles.
I'm excited.
It's going to be fun. Austin Eckler, everybody. Good stuff from Austin Eckler. Great thanks to Handsome Hank, as well as always, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass, and you, the listener. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. Until next week, when we will be fully and legally tampering, and perhaps even tampered with. Who knows? It's been a thin slice of heaven.